sense restraint, called in Pali Indriya Sangvara, is especially important. This is one of the practices in the Apanaka Patipada, the practices that are not wrong. Practices that aren't wrong are practices that are correct. And it is a Dhamma topic that Venerable Ajahn Chah would take to teach the monks and novices constantly. So, even though we are laity, we can still learn about this teaching. The word Indriya means chief. The eye is chief in seeing, the ear is chief in hearing, the nose is chief in smelling, the tongue is chief in tasting flavors, the body is chief in knowing cold, hot, soft, and hard, and the mind is chief in knowing mind objects. And if we have sense restraint, then what are the benefits, and what are the drawbacks in not having it? Like we are sitting in meditation here, we can see that we should close our eyes. The tongue isn't receiving any flavors. The external weather is just right. It's not too cold, not too hot. And we open the heart and make the mind peaceful and still. When we have a good level of stillness, we can notice where the mental defilements arise. This is because we are restraining the senses and training the mind. There was one elder monk who had a young novice who was an arahant to teach him. Wherever this elder monk went, no one would want to teach him because he was a big teacher already. But a monk said that he was an empty scripture. Though he had thorough intellectual knowledge and lots of disciples who were arahants, but as for the teacher, he was not yet enlightened, because he only had a lot of knowledge. Later, this young novice tortured the elder monk until he could accept the Dhamma. Then the young novice said to him to restrain the sense doors. Close all the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and look at the mind. Here, he knew then how to gain samadhi concentration. His mind was stilled, and it was samadhi of a high level. He could see the mental defilements arising with the mind. He could catch the defilements, so he could see everything as being empty. He gained enlightenment, becoming one of the arahants. So for us, when we have left and finished the meditation retreat, we will meet and experience all the information and sense media. But if we receive too much of this information, we know too much by way of the eye, by way of the mind, then there is mental chaos arising. Because if we receive too much worldly information, then it will destroy the peace that we have been cultivating for many days. So we must be careful. We need to know about consumption in moderation. In the past, we were taught to eat food in moderation. And we know of that coarse food, but the information and sense media is a type of food. If we consume too much, without mindfulness and wisdom, our mind becomes chaotic. The sense media drags in greed, anger, and delusion very easily. Therefore, we have to exercise even greater restraint in this modern age where information is so abundant. For some people, if they know too much about worldly matters, their minds become chaotic and tense. Some even become physically tired, and the mind is too stirred up and tense that some end up being hospitalized because they go so deep and get so absorbed in those sense objects. With the information that reaches the mind, there is a feeling that it's all about self, of me and mine. That's the cause for suffering to arise. In Dhamma practice, we try to abandon this self, the me and mine. So it's the opposite. So we need to control the receiving of all the information and have less sensory input. Reduce the sights we see. Close the eyes sometimes. Lessen the ear hearing sounds. the nose smelling odors, the tongue tasting flavors, and so on. Make it less. We should live simply and be content with what we have. This is for the external basic requisites of life. And we also reduce the sensory experiences. If we do this, then the sensory inputs can't cover over our minds. The defilements can't invade the mind. We have to experience sensory input with mindfulness. We know and understand what is happening in the moment by way of the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind. That is, we know the sights, sounds, smells, tastes, physical sensations, and mental objects. We have to be very careful. If we are careful like this, they said we can be safe and avoid danger. Imagine we were going to catch one creature that lived in this termite mound, and there were 6 ways out, 6 holes of this termite mound. The creature living in there, it would go in and out looking for food through one of these 6 holes or pathways. It enters this hole, goes out that hole, in this hole, out that hole. So what should we do to catch this creature? We close all the 5 holes and pathways, so the creature is left with only one pathway, and we can keep watch over this pathway, and the creature must come out of this path for sure. Then we will be able to catch it. Similarly, this is compared to the 6 sense organs. When we close the external sense organs, then we'll be able to catch the mental defilements. We will see the objects that arise with the mind. The mind will have mind objects that are good and the objects that are bad, and the mind will proliferate from this. Suppose we get a sense object that we like, then the mind will proliferate from objects that we dislike, and we proliferate. All this arises with the mind. Here, we're now being careful. Our mindfulness catches the doorway, and we are watching it. We aren't careless. We will then be able to see the mental object. We can see the mind as the mind, see the mental object as the mental object. Then we'll be able to catch the creature inside the termite mound. That is, the thoughts, ideas, proliferations that come out. These are thoughts that are positive, thoughts that are negative. It's natural that it proliferates like this. When there is love, it proliferates one way. With hate, it proliferates another way. With anger and ill will, it proliferates. This happens constantly. It's natural. If we have no mindfulness, then we can think and proliferate all day and all night. This is what happens if we have no wisdom. Therefore, we need to be careful. Because these days there is so much sense media, it will all flow into our mind, and it will have a very bad effect on the mind. We may have moods of surprise, hate and ill will, a flurry of thoughts, anxiety and worry, competing and disputing. There's so much like this in the society we're living in. And especially the present day society, it can create systems that come up to trick us. They can use artificial intelligence, fake voices, in order to give rise to anger and hate in us, to create delusion, and then making us send money. So we need to be very careful. We may receive a lot of information, and it brings up fear in us. So stop first. Breathe in and out mindfully, one cycle. Then examine if this is real information or is it fake information. Whatever we listen to, we are careful to see if it's true or not. May we know it with awareness. Don't go getting angry straight away, hating instantly, loving instantly. We can't straight away react to it. So our Dhamma practice must be continual. This is a constant duty of ours. May we know how to contemplate that everything is empty. The unskillful and bad sense objects that arise are normal. let it not lead to a painful mental feeling that invades the mind. We have to maintain our sense doors. In regards to sense restraint, in the practices of Wat Nongpa Phong, the Ajahn Chah lineage, there's a practice of great restraint wherever one is, going somewhere and being sense restrained, or staying at home and being sense restrained, when speaking little, and not really looking at things around one, having the head tilted down, restrained, the eyes lowered, in going for arms round, and in sitting and discussing Dhamma, one is in a posture that is sense restrained. They guard the mind constantly. Venerable Ajahn Chah trained his disciples to practice like this, until they had developed enough strength to face the external sense objects. Even then, he still taught them to watch their minds. Sometimes the mind would think of something small. We experience something good, and we think that that thing is really good. Like one glass of orange juice, thinking, this is full of vitamin C, it's healthy. We think like this because we have learnt and studied in this way before, so we think that way. But Ajahn Chah said right then to bring up mindfulness, saying, that's a place of death. Whatever we like and are pleased and delight in, even if it's one glass of orange juice that is good, that is the place of death. Why? Because we become attached to the goodness of these things. Then we come to die there. We come to be born there, so we come to die there. We have to be very careful of our mind. Wherever the mind thinks, to the left, to the right, to the front, to the back, we have to be careful of it. We have to be able to make it peaceful and not let the mind go all over the place. When we are sense restrained in this way, then it has benefit, great benefit. We will have strength for the internal fight. I talk about the time of my practice in the cremation ground. All day I had to be sense restrained. I couldn't talk a lot. If I talked a lot, the mind wouldn't be peaceful, and the mind would then be chaotic. When I entered the cremation ground at night, there would be so much fear, so fearful, because there was a sense of self, of me and mine. I was scared of death, scared of ghosts. But if the ghosts really did see me, then they would probably find it funny. Why are you scared of me? I haven't done any harm to anyone. I've already died. But the monks, those practicing, they're still scared of them. So we had to be sense restrained throughout the day. Not talking much, restraint in the senses, talking little, doing sitting meditation and walking meditation, storing the mental strength in order to fight with the meditation at night in a fearful place. And so for you as well, you can also just receive little information, less sense media. You can talk little, as much as you're able to. After work, you go home, wash up, eat appropriately, and then meditation is easily peaceful. But if we let it go, we talk and follow the sense media, we don't restrain the sense doors, then we have greed and we leave the mind be. We have anger and delusion and we leave the mind be. Then when we try to meditate and develop samadhi, then we won't be able to, because samadhi is hard to do. But if we are well sense restrained, then the chance to meditate increases, and we can have more concentration, and there is coolness in our hearts. Like the water in a glass. If we stir the glass, then the mind will not be clear. But if we stop stirring, then the water is still, and it can be clear. So, sense restraint, Indriya Sangwara, is very important. It is the path to correct practice. We will know ourselves, when we are currently speaking, when we are currently listening. The bad mind states, we will leave them be and let them pass. We don't think a lot about it. When we hear something, we don't cling to it, because we can get angry, because anger comes from a sense of self. There is someone speaking and someone listening. Or they may be sending and receiving messages, and this is a mental fabrication in that it proliferates that person's mind only. There is a sense of self arising. The ignorance makes one proliferate. With liking, there is proliferation. With disliking, there is proliferation. All sorts of things arise in our feelings. But in reality, it arises, stays, and passes away. In truth, form is all empty. Feelings, perceptions, mental formations, and consciousness are all empty. If they are empty, then all things are empty. Once we reach that insight, then there is no self, no being, person, no me or them. That's the path to see the Dhamma. This is right practice according to Dhamma fundamentals. So let us stay in the present moment, to not let the mind be deluded by sense objects. The mind is not deluded, and we don't forget ourselves. This is great practice, suitable not only for monks and novices, but for all the laity as well. This is the practice following the Apanaka Patipada, practice that is not wrong. And the benefit of restraining the senses is truly great. It calms the mind, it reduces restlessness, it prevents mistakes, and prevents misconduct in speech or action. A good simile is a turtle that pulls itself in. It pulls its legs inside its shell. It doesn't leave any limbs out, so the enemies can't do anything to the turtle. We restrain the mind, and the mind becomes calm. Then we can reflect and see and know the truth. We can see the Dhamma clearly. That's what we must train towards and be diligent in calming and making the mind peaceful. If we receive all sorts of sense media, then the mind will become chaotic. So, restraint of the sense doors is important, and it is the path to seeing the truth and to attain to the Dhamma. May you grow in blessings.